This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for the joy of seeing you work in the hearts of our children. Thank you, God, that you are building your church, God. We bless them, Lord, and we thank you that you continue your work in their hearts and their lives, God. We thank you that there's no junior Holy Spirit, Lord, but that you impart the same measure to them, Lord, that they receive the fullness of your Spirit, Lord, as they open their hearts, Lord. So we bless them with that in Jesus' name. In the same way, we open our hearts this morning, and we trust, Lord, that you would speak into our hearts. We trust that you would impart life to us. We trust, God, that we would meet with you and that we would leave from this place more like Christ, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a moment, let me grab some water. Sure, this year is almost coming to an end. We can't believe it's December. But God is good. We had the children's inter-house athletics on a Friday. And Abigail and David were in the blue team. Emily was not impressed that we were in the blue team. She wanted to be in the pink team. Unfortunately, there wasn't a pink team, but we did, in the end, convince her to wear something blue. And she looked amazing. But, that was fun. You remember how something like that is actually such a big thing for them. But hey, they enjoyed it, so what a blessing. So this morning, I just want to share one or two thoughts for us. We're going to have communion together at the end, so I'll be quite brief so that we can be out of here before they switch off the power. And, you know, coming to at the end of the year, I think it's a healthy thing for us to reflect back. I think in some ways it happens automatically that we think back and reflect, but in some ways I think it's good to be deliberate about reflecting back and thinking about things like, you know, what is of eternal value, and have I grown? Have we as a family, me and my family, have we grown in Christ? Have we as a church family, have we grown? Have we grown closer to God? Have we grown in our relationship with Him? And then I think one way to kind of get a feel for this, because this is obviously, it's one of those things, how do you measure that? How do you measure that? There's some among us that want to measure stuff. They want to have facts and figures, which is great. It's healthy to be able to measure things, right? But how do you measure your spiritual growth? And one question I always like to ask myself is, am I more like Christ now than I was at the beginning of the year? And maybe I should ask my wife that rather, because maybe she has a better perspective than I have on that one. But that's a question we can ask, you know, that amongst accountability groups, people that we love and that know us well. Can we ask that question, you know, am I more like Christ this year, ever at the end of this year, than I was at the beginning of this year? And how can I? And if I find that this year, well, there's been so much happening that I haven't really been deliberately pursuing growing as a disciple of Christ. And, you know, in this time at the end of the year, I want to really encourage us. You know, I trust most of us will have some time off, some time to rest. And I want to really encourage you to take time to trust, to pray through some things, to seek God's face about next year. You know, we've got this calendar. God's season don't necessarily stick to our calendar. But engage the heart of God about this year past, but also the year that's coming, about seasons that you're in, things that you're working through. Press into His presence. I want us to look at just three thoughts, main thoughts of how, in other words, if you know, we often, how can we see if we've grown? But also, you know, one question that we always sometimes ask ourselves as a staff or as a church, if we as a church were to be removed out of this community, would anybody notice? You know, it's an uncomfortable question to ask. Would anybody notice? Would anything be different? Is there what significant change do we bring, or what? How do we build? How do we build the kingdom? What is God doing through us in the community? If we were to be removed, what would change? And I want to ask that in a more personal capacity. How will people? What will change if you're removed out of your workplace spiritually? Out of your community? And will people know that you are following Christ? So I want to look at a few thoughts around that, and then we're going to have communion together. Let's read from Exodus chapter 33. This is where the nation of Israel have been at Mount Sinai. God is speaking to Moses face to face. You know, they've erected the tent of meeting outside the camp, a little bit away from the people. And, you know, Moses would go to the tent of meeting, they call it. And then as he went in, then the cloud or the pillar of fire would descend and rest there. And then God would speak to him face to face. But because of what has been happening, trying to be brief now, but because of what has been happening, God is not very pleased with the guys at the moment, okay? So he says, listen, I'm going to send, you are a stiff-necked people. That's what he tells them. You're a stiff-necked people. And then he says, listen, I'll send my angel before you. And then he tells them, you're going to go to the promised land. I'll keep my promise, but I'm going to send my angel to go before you. And then Moses, you know, he really engages with God. And then we see the last bit here. And he says, then Moses said, verse 15, if you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. How will anyone know that you look favorably on me and on your people if you don't go with us? For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all other people on earth. Your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all other people on earth. If you don't personally go with us, please don't send us. Don't make us leave this place. How can you? What a powerful Moses engages with God. He says, listen, you know, Lord, I know we've messed up, but please don't send us from this place. Unless you go with us, unless your presence is with us. This is what sets us apart, is that you are with us. Your presence with us sets us apart. And we see here with Moses and with the guy that, you know, that followed up on him, his lieutenant at that stage, Joshua, that came after him. It says, it's just before this passage where he says, when Moses left the tent of meeting with God, his assistant Joshua stayed behind. He just, even beyond Moses, he wanted to be in the presence of God. I want to say that isn't this one of the key things that should identify us as the people of God? That his presence is with us. And not only on a Sunday morning when we worship and when we come together, but any place we go. Shouldn't this be the standard thing, that the presence of God is with us? That His peace rests on our homes. That His presence goes with us when we are in our workplace. Or, you know, I think of guys like Daniel and his friends who were taken into the most ungodly places, and they worked there in important positions, but the presence of God was with them, even in that ungodly place. And they were a witness and a testimony there. You know, there's some amazing accounts of Smith Wigglesworth, preacher there in England. There was, he would be traveling on a train, and when the train would stop at a station, the presence of God was so tangible with him. The people on the platform just could fall on their knees, start repenting. I think that'll be quite cool, don't you think? You traveling in your car in traffic there on the N4, like I do sometimes, you know, stuck in traffic on the way into town. You know, if people around you in the cars just start repenting and on their knees, okay, it would cause quite a bit of chaos. But praise the Lord. But do we desire and do we pursue His presence in this way that Moses says, Lord, we can't go from this place unless You are with us. I have a suspicion if I was in a similar place, you know, God saying, okay, guys, let's just get this over with. Let's just go to the promised land. Let's just move on. If things have gone a bit pear-shaped, but let's just get there. I would say, yes, sure, let's go. Send the angel. Let's be out of here. We want to get to the promised land. But Moses understands what's really significant. He understands what's really necessary here. You know, often Pastor Heinrich said something the other day which really struck me. And I've thought about this myself. I thought about how Moses must have been devastated when he couldn't go into the promised land. You know, the Lord took him up on the mountain. He showed him the promised land, but he couldn't enter himself. I always thought he must have been devastated. But I think he understood that the presence of God is his true reward. And he was completely content with the presence of God and his presence with him. Okay, so that's number one. Okay, I've got to rush a little bit. Let's go on to John chapter 13. How, again, asking the question, how will they know? How people know that we are his? How that people, firstly, they will know we are his by his presence. I mean, secondly, John 13:34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. This is the second. This is not an exhaustive list. I'm just going to mention three. He says, people will know by his presence, and he says, yeah, by the love that we have for one another, people will know that we are disciples of Christ. People would come, if people come in from outside, or people come in maybe that don't know us, do they recognize that we are disciples of Jesus by the way that we interact, by the way we care for one another, by the way we look out for each other, by the way we love one another? So the reason why I'm mentioning this is I want to encourage you that when you do get quiet at the end of this year, reflect on these things. Am I pursuing the presence of God? Can I grow in the way that I do this? Can I grow in the way that I'm loving the body of Christ around me? How can I grow in the way that I interact with my brothers and sisters in Christ? Is it visible? And guys, the scripture says, iron sharpens iron. There's going to be some friction happening. There's going to be some challenging situations. There's going to be opportunities for offense for sure. The good news is God is with us. The bad news is we're all fallible human beings. Amen. But are we really pursuing that place where we're loving one another in a way that is going to testify of God's grace on our lives, going to testify that we are His, that we belong to Him? I just want to, this last one, from John chapter 17, from verse 20, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. So he's praying for those disciples, he's saying, but also for praying for those that will believe because of the word that they will be preaching. So that includes us. Isn't that amazing? Jesus is praying for us here. That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And that the glory which you have gave me, I've given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. And I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. That the world may know. Through the unity that we have amongst one another. So that's closely linked for the love that we have one another, but it's different. The world will know by the way that we are walking in unity, by the way we are operating as a family together. Now, you will know that walking in unity and coming to a place of unity, there's some challenges often on that road. We don't always start in that place of unity. There's some misunderstandings, there's some challenges, there's some, you know, differences of opinion, but I think the key bit here is that if we are committed to one another in love, that we will push through those challenging bits, push through the misunderstandings and the disagreements to a place where we can be in unity, where we can say, this is what we believe, and this is what God has called us to do. This is what God has called us to be in this city. This is what He's put before us. Let's do this together. Now I need to close, but I want to just make a comment here. One or two comments on of a church that we see in Acts. And, the other day I drove a car up from Cape Town for my mom, and that's 15, 16 hours or more. Yuck, it was really great. You know, I had the audio Bible going and great time to pray. It's amazing how much if you play it like 1.5 or even closer to double speed, depending on the audio Bible, some of them are still very clear at the faster speed, you can actually work quite a bit. So I worked through about 1/3 of the New Testament. It was quite cool. But Acts just challenged me again. Maybe all of us should read through Acts these holidays. Because if you read how the church was operating and how other people were interacting with one another, it's challenging. I don't know about you, but I've experienced, if we look at these couple of things that I mentioned now, there's often we try and we see, okay, how can we as a church love one another? How can we be more of a community? How can we grow as a community? And we try and make stuff happen. We organize things. We say, how can we, grow in our relationships? And we really push that. But when you look at the church in Acts, I see the mission was before the community. It's because of the mission that they were on that they were in community. It's because of the pursuit that they were pursuing that they ended up in the community. Does that make sense? So they didn't try and make the community happen. And it's, what happened is that Jesus rose from the dead. And He said, go and tell everybody to believe in me. And then these guys took that command because they saw this guy literally rose from the dead. We saw somebody rise from the dead. This is Jesus. He rose from the dead. He's the Son of God. He's given us a command. And now there was a community because they were pursuing that mission together. It didn't start with a gathering. It started with a mission. That really challenged me. The other thing that I see is, and I don't know about you, sometimes you experience something maybe in small group or maybe on a mission trip. I've experienced one or twice when I pray for some random person on the street or just somebody that you run into during the day, a stranger, and they get healed, or they are born again there, or spirit-filled. You know, I've had the Lord minister to people in interesting places, on the aeroplane or whatever, and then this one lady was filled with the Spirit on the aeroplane, and she prayed in tongues so loudly. I was just like, wow, this is amazing, but everybody is really interested in what's happening here now. In any case, but the Lord was all over. It was really cool. The guy sitting next to her on the other side, I believe he was really ministered to as well. But you know, you experience stuff like that. You experience the kingdom coming in your everyday life, and you feel, wow, that felt like the Bible. That felt like Acts right there, you know? That, or you're on a mission trip and a bunch of people get born again and people are delivered or healed. And you're like, wow, isn't this what this is all about? But my question is, why is that the now and again? If I look at Acts, it's not now and again. That was daily life. Stuff was happening. People were raised from the dead and healed and ministered to and in prison and then out of prison and then angels came and it was incredible. So that challenges me. And I want to just hold this before us, how as we are reflecting on the year, as we're praying for next year, I want to encourage you, go through the book of Acts and say, Lord, how can we get back on this mission together so that we can see 2019 that will just be way beyond all our dreams and expectations so that your kingdom can come. Jesus built his church. We see that in Acts. All this stuff was coming against the church, but he was building his church. Can we get the communion ready, please? He was building his church. Now, when Simon was preaching at that crowd, Stephen. And he wasn't even an apostle. He was just one of the guys, you know, that one of the deacons, basically. And he was preaching with such anointing and such conviction that the people wanted to kill him. And they did. He was the first martyr. They stoned him to death. And Saul of Tarsus was one of the guys that were there. And he was trying to stop the kingdom from coming, wasn't he? He was capturing believers. He was putting them in prison. There was so much coming against the church. But could a guy like Saul of Tarsus, could he stop the church? Could he stop Jesus building his church? No. Jesus slaps him off his horse, says, you're going to come with me on this thing. Nothing can stop him building his church. Amen. The gates of hell will not prevail. Let's grab the communion. And actually, let's stand so long as we hand out the communion. Now, we see the church in Acts. A lot of them saw Christ as he was ministering. You know, many of them saw him on the cross. Many of the first, you know, 120 or so, and then definitely about 500 were there when he ascended into heaven. They saw the risen Christ, and they received that commission. He said, "Go into all the world. Preach the gospel." They took this commission really seriously because they'd just seen God raise his son from the dead. Jesus overcame sin and death. They just saw it with their own eyes. And they heard this commission and they took that mission and they ran with it to the end of the earth. And the funny thing is, we sometimes do it a bit differently. You know that game Simon Says? Most of us have probably played it with little. If you, the young people probably don't know it. I don't know if there's an app for that or a mobile game or something. But in the game Simon Says, it seems to be quite simple. But when we play the game Jesus Says, it's not that simple. Jesus says, and we think about it, we study it, we memorize the words. Imagine if I told Abigail, my eldest, Abigail, please go and clean your room or go and tidy your room. And she comes back to me 2 hours later. She says, Daddy, I have memorized your words. And I have memorized everything you said to me. And actually, I'm getting some friends over and we're going to be discussing what you said to me. I tell you what, she knows better than that. Actually, even Emily is getting to know better than that. David, David was quite good at tidying up, especially if there's an incentive. But we, with Christ, isn't that what we do? I want Abigail not to think and meditate and memorize. I want her to do what I ask her to do. When Simon says we do it, but when Jesus says we do all kinds of other things. So I want to encourage us as we reflect on this year, maybe somewhere through this month, you're going to have some time. I want to encourage you to pray through this. How am I pursuing the presence of God? How am I and my family? How are we pursuing His presence and His will? How are we loving one another? How are we walking in unity, pursuing how are we walking in unity as we're pursuing His great commission? Are we being serious? Okay, we've got very little power left, I think. So let's pray. Father, we thank You so much, Lord, for this word this morning. We thank You for Your word towards us. We thank You for this year. As we coming towards the end of this year, we, Holy Spirit, I pray that You would convict us, Lord, that You would show us how we can grow in these things, Lord. How we can be more like Christ, Lord. And that, Lord, that You would empower us by Your Spirit. Thank You that You have empowered us, Lord, to position ourselves to grow, Father, to be more like Christ, Lord. Lord, if there's so many tools around us, the encounter series, the Bible schools, so many things, small groups, so many opportunities around us to be discipled, to be more like Christ, to grow. Pray, Holy Spirit, Your missions, so much happening. Pray, Holy Spirit, You would stir our hearts with a desire to grow in 2019, or to position ourselves, God, in Jesus' name. As every eye is closed, if you're here this morning, is that it? No, not yet. Father, we thank You. As every eye is closed, if you're here this morning and you know you're not right with God, before we take communion, I just want to give you an opportunity to respond to His invitation. If you know you want to follow Christ today, won't you raise your hand for a moment? I want to pray with you. Is there anybody like that? You know you're not right with Him. You know you don't have a relationship with Him. I want to pray with you. Thank you. Father, we thank You for this bread and this wine, Lord. We take this, we celebrate the cross, Lord. We thank You for the broken body of Jesus. We thank You for the blood that was shed for us, Lord. We celebrate the cross, Lord. We celebrate Your faithfulness. We thank You that the resurrection power of Christ is in us and through us. Let Your kingdom come, Lord, in us, in our church family, in us as individuals, in our families, across this nation, Lord. Let Your kingdom come, Lord. We celebrate this. We do this in remembrance of You, Jesus. And we say, Lord, be exalted in our midst, God, in Jesus' name. Receive the provision of the cross. We receive health, Lord. We receive forgiveness of sins again. We thank You that the blood of Christ is sufficient for us, for our city and for our nation, God, in Jesus' name. Let's eat together. Let's drink together.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.